and welcome to Mouse Chat for Friday, January 28th, 2011. I'm Lisa, and joining me today, we have our usual Steve, Lauren, Natalie, Chris, and Bob, newcomer Bob. And we also have a couple of special guests. We have David, Franklin, and Sarah. So welcome to everyone. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, and thank you.
Hi, thanks.
Hello.
Hi. Okay. On today's show, we will be bringing you topics from around Disney. Okay. We're going to start off with a couple of announcements. We're going to hit a couple of news stories, and then our main topic for today is going to be Gay Days at Disney World. I just want to point out that we are not affiliated with the organizers of Gay Days. We are not associated with the events surrounding Gay Days. The opinions to come are just that, their opinions. So, now that that's behind me.
I'm sorry, it was kind of funny.
It's necessary. Let's start with announcement. This would be from Steve, and he's going to tell us all about clue number four.
So we're up to clue number four on the hidden item over at Walt Disney World. This might be the one that gives it away, because we're getting pretty close. Clue number four is, it's not windy here, but the name is. So clue number four is that it's not windy here, but the name is. So if you find the item that's actually physically hidden at Walt Disney World, you can call the number or the email address on the item for your $50 Disney gift card. Or you can go to mousechat.net on Facebook and guess away there.
Has anyone made any guesses at all?
Yeah, there's been a few guesses on the Facebook page.
Very good. All right, so that's it for announcements. Short but sweet. Next segment is going to be news, and this is going to be pretty short and sweet, too. Bob has a couple of stories for us. Bob, what do you have?
Just a couple of quick things, like you said, Lisa. The first is that as part of the remodel of Splash Mountain, or not remodel, but maintenance, they have decided to go ahead and add splash lap bars to the ride, which is upsetting a lot of people, myself included. I think it is unnecessary. It is going to cause a delay in loading times now.
How much of a delay?
About 3 seconds per person, which seems insignificant, but when you consider the lines
and thousands of people.
Of thousands of people per day passing through, it will add time to the ride. It actually is estimated to go from 12 seconds loading time to 15 seconds loading time per person. So multiply that by thousands, and you can see it is going to increase wait times for everyone. More importantly, no more sitting three per row will be allowed because of the design of the lap bar. So that obviously is going to upset a lot of parents who maybe want to ride with their children, or in cases of taller adults or larger adults, it may be that even two people can't necessarily fit side by side anymore. And of course, this was all done in because of safety precautions, and people standing up during the ride is obviously a risk that Disney doesn't want to take, somebody getting injured. More importantly, if somebody stands up during the ride and won't sit down or something of that nature, then they sometimes have to reset the ride, and which obviously causes more delays for everybody else.
All right, Bob, do you have one more for us?
I do. The other story is causing a little buzz on the internet. It's been around a couple of Disney chat boards, and now the Orlando Sentinel is reporting it. Apparently, the story is that during the christening cruise, while the Disney Dream was turning around in port, it came very close to bumping or running into the Royal Caribbean's Mariner of the Seas, which was also in port. There is video on YouTube taken by a passenger of the Royal Caribbean, so you can judge for yourselves. I don't think that the Disney Dream got all that close, and they weren't drifting as the Royal Caribbean is alleging. I don't think they were more than, you know, probably they were probably 15 feet away, but passengers on the Royal Caribbean are saying that the Disney Dream got within 1 foot. So, it is causing a little bit of a controversy. And you can imagine what that would have looked like if those two ships had actually touched one another during a christening. That would have certainly put a damper on the events of the christening.
Well, I have to say, if he can park and get 15 feet or even 1 foot, he's done good. That's a big ship.
Yeah. I don't think
and you think
had anything that large before, so it's probably going to take a while for traffic patterns and stuff to get settled in.
Well, and I watched on Good Morning America that Captain has been with Disney for, I think, he's been on all the ships. He's been with them since day one, so I'm sure he's the captain was a very good captain, and those are controlled by joysticks, so they could almost just drive those in sideways.
Exactly. I've been watching Discovery Channel on, like, cruise ships, and, like, the control that they have is amazing. It's literally, you need to move it 1 foot 5 inches to the right, you literally have the ability to move it just that exact amount. So it may look like it was close and he had no control, but I'm sure the captain knew exactly what he was doing and how far he was away from the ship.
And not only that, and I agree with what both of you said, but I think that people don't realize there are other officers on the bridge who are monitoring those types of things to keep that from happening, from anything bad from happening. So I think it was overblown, but in this day and age of YouTube, you know, somebody can take a video and say anything. And I mean, you can plainly see in the video that the Disney Dream was not drifting, as has been alleged. You can see the wake from the waves, which indicates that the engines were running.
You can control drifting on your throttles. It may seem like you're drifting, but you're not. So, some people think you are.
I don't know how big of a story this is going to be, but it is getting a lot of buzz. And of course, once the media gets a hold of it, who knows? But, I mean, the bottom line is the ship wasn't damaged. The two ships didn't hit. Nothing happened. The ship is perfect. So I think it's just being overblown.
Well, it's something to talk about. All right. So that, wow. Segment two, done. Let's go into the main topic, gay days at Disney World. So, who wants to start us off?
Gay days has been going for, 20 years now, I believe. It's the first Saturday in June is the official gay day at Magic Kingdom. And, of course, there's other events that happen in the days prior to that as well. People from all over the world come. I've seen all types of families, both gay, lesbian, transgendered, and also families who are supporting, and just random people who end up there as well, of course. So it's not official. It's just an unofficial gathering of people who get together to have a good time.
Now this year they're having it, what, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday? Is that right?
Right. It originally started out as just one day at the Magic Kingdom, that one Saturday. And then as popularity grew, each park was assigned a specific day. So normally it starts the Thursday. The first Thursday in June is Animal Kingdom. Friday is Hollywood Studios. Saturday is Magic Kingdom. And then Sunday is Epcot.
And also on Saturday, people wear red. The original intent was for the community to be able to recognize one another while they're in the park. And it's just grown into a tradition. So now everybody wears red on Saturday.
How many people does an event like this normally attract to or bring to the parks?
I've seen newspaper estimates of anywhere from 50,000 to 200,000 people brought to the Orlando area. The parks themselves, surprisingly, don't reach capacity, even though a lot of people may be in town for the parties and various events. They don't always go to the parks, so it can vary. It tends to be crowded, but again, the rides aren't necessarily crowded because people are just going to people watch and to talk and meet up with people.
I would say the best way to look at it, especially on Saturday, would be the one day that everyone really goes to is during the parade. I mean, you can literally be sitting on the sidewalk and you literally almost far as the eye can see is it's just a sea of red T-shirts. And that really you see the gravity and the amount of people that really come out to partake in this celebration, especially during the parade, is the number of red shirts you can see wherever your eyes go is amazing. And I think that's what's the best thing about this is you just see these community of people from all over the world just coming together to have a wonderful time in one of their favorite vacation destinations in the world.
And I think that's one of the big things that people get confused about too is they think it's going to be like, you know, New York City Pride with everybody walking around in drag and with full leather regalia and nudity. It's not. It's a bunch of people at Disney. You know, it's I guess you could say the world's biggest family reunion.
And you know, I've tried to explain that to people when people have asked me about gay days, and it's just a group of people that are there trying to have a good time, like you or anybody else who goes to the Magic Kingdom or to one of the Disney parks. And as far as inappropriate behavior, you could see that from any guest on any given day, straight or you know, gay.
Well, we've talked about that on some other shows too. Some of the things that inappropriate clothing.
The foreign ladies in the thongs.
Yeah, I mean, whether it's that at some of the water parks or the pools.
I mean, I've seen worse inappropriate behavior from the international groups than a certain South American country than from any, like, anything I've ever seen at the years I've been going to Vegas.
So do these events, or not events, but, I mean, let's take Saturday at the Magic Kingdom. Do people spend all day at the park, or is it typically more crowded in the morning versus evening?
Typically, the parks, and this goes for all four of the days, tend to be more crowded in the afternoon and evening. You'll start to see really, I like to call it the swarm of red shirts come in probably around noon, 1 o'clock is when the parks start to get really filled. The Magic Kingdom's sort of the exception to that rule because that is the one park that if you can only go for one day, that's the park you go to. But for the most other times, it's really the afternoon and evenings that get really busy. Filled with people.
Now, Chris, weren't you saying the opposite?
I had always heard, and this is what a lot of the crowd calendars put out, which is that it's busier until mid-afternoon, and then it starts to clear out because people are going to events that are off-site. But, well, you know,
And after about the parade, it does start to clear out some because there's a lot going on both on-site and off-site. Normally on the Saturday evening is the beach ball at Typhoon Lagoon, which is an after-hours event, and it starts at 7 or 8, so a lot of people are going to nap before that.
Is there events, I guess, at Gay Days similar to like a Disney fan-type reunion? I guess, is that how you would look at it? So maybe there's like a trivia event or a get-together at one of the clubs or those type things going on?
There are lots of small groups that get together, and there are some larger special ticket events that run just for Gay Days. There's normally one at Hollywood Studios, which they'll have international DJs come in, and it's just a big party. Then they have the one at Typhoon Lagoon. They'll also have some off-property at various hotels, and what's the other water park that's still open? Wet Wild, or is it Watermania? Whichever one's not closed, they have an event there too. So it's really the whole Orlando area has various things going on. There's a meet and greet normally with the mayor of Orlando and an exposition type setup at one of the host hotels. So there's pretty much something for everyone there, which is why it gets such a large crowd that may not necessarily all go to the parks.
I've actually stayed at the host hotel and I've actually done the parks. I did it last year. And so there's a bunch of stuff going on at the host hotels. There's various dances that go on. They have their own separate pool party. So, and outside guests who aren't staying at the host hotel for Gay Days can actually go and attend these events. Let's see, what else is? Those are the two major things that happen at the host hotel, plus the expo that David had mentioned. So, a lot of gay-friendly businesses will come in and talk to you about the products and services that they offer. So, there's a lot of stuff that goes off-site. Whereas versus on-site, it's really just all about the theme parks and then the two after parties, the one at Typhoon Lagoon and the one at Hollywood Studios.
Now, are there events that you should, that are kind of like the must-see, must-do events for someone going for the first time?
Definitely Magic Kingdom on Saturday. I think that's the definite must-see. Just seeing the swarm of people watching the parade, I think is really, really important. And you'll see the cast members really try and engage the crowd, and since it's not an official event, they can't call it out, but they'll the celebrate a dream come true parade, is that what it's called, or am I thinking
yes.
of Yes, okay. So in that one, last year, the cast members will say, what are you celebrating? You're celebrating a new birthday. I'm going to celebrate all my people here in red shirts. So they try and call out the fact that people are there for gay days without getting in trouble for going against script. So it's a fine line the cast members have to play. But from the cast members I've talked to, you know, just walking around the park, a lot of them said, I specifically sign up for a shift during gay days because the people are so much fun. They're so welcoming, and it just makes working here that much more enjoyable.
Well, so many of the cast members are gay, and yes. Gays love Disney. They just do. And, you know, they're going to, celebrate it.
True. Even the non-gay ones, they were just saying, you know, the people who come during gay days, a lot of the gay, lesbian, the alternative lifestyle people, I want to make sure I include everyone, really do enjoy, they enjoy interacting with them, and they make the parks a little bit more fun.
Yeah, one thing that's always funny to see, I believe it's the 2 o'clock Country Bear Jamboree, all the bears who are the huskier, hairy guys all line up to go see that. So there's a huge crowd, and it's pretty much the only time you'll ever see Country Bear Jamboree is standing room only. And they go in there and they just sing all the songs, and it's a lot of fun. And
they start lining up really, really early.
Yeah, they start lining up at like 11, 12 o'clock. And you'll see families who get in there too, and they end up having a blast because all the guys are in there singing the songs with the thing, and the kids don't necessarily understand anything's going on. So they just think it's a lot of fun, and it's a funny thing to see too.
They think it's like that all the time.
We actually passed a family last year. There were a group of us walking by, and, you know, I don't think they had any clue, and the dad had the one kid on his shoulders, and they were like, who wants to go see some dancing bears? And we cracked up for a good, like, 10 minutes on that one, because they had no idea. It's like, these people are going to get in there and sit down and go, what's going on? But I think it'd be a fun experience.
Can I ask a question? Now, generally, you sort of think of this as sort of a grown-up thing, but are there gay families who come, parents who bring their kids?
Oh, definitely.
Yes.
So that's nice.
Yes, it's definitely open to families, singles, couples. I mean, yeah, you definitely see a lot of families there with their children, and their children are, it's a Disney World vacation, so they're definitely not going to say anything. But when the families are there, they connect with other gay, lesbian families, and they really are able to make this a more special time for them, since their kids can be around other kids who have two mommies, two daddies, or whatnot.
And the funny thing for us is people ask us, well, if you go and you support it, why don't you bring your children? And we laugh. It's like it has nothing to do with gay days and everything to do with the fact that gay days falls on the weekend of our anniversary, and no parents want to be with their children on their anniversary weekend. And this is our time that we go away by ourselves and have fun. And they come with us every other time, and they've met all of our friends, and, you know, they love Uncle Dave, but, you know, we don't take them because we want to be able to have our weekend for us.
So go ahead,
Bob.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I was just going to ask if, would you say that most people that come into town for this event stay off property or on property in terms of, you know, helping people plan for vacations and thinking ahead?
I've found a lot. I mean, I think it's such a mix. We've stayed on property, we've stayed, you know, at Disney hotels, we've stayed at the Swan and Dolphin. We've met people that were staying over at like the Marriott Village, and then also all the downtown Disney resorts and stuff. It's like it just brings in so many people that I think, you know, pretty much every hotel in the area gets hit with quite a few guests coming for gay days.
So many people coming for gay days, coming from so many different economic backgrounds. I mean, tons of them will stay at the Grand Floridian. Some are staying at the $30 a night places on 192 because that's all they could afford. It's really just a huge variety. There's a big group that comes into Fort Wilderness Campground called the Rainbow RV Group, and they take over a whole loop of the campground and decorate it and everywhere. And it's not necessarily disruptive because, like, they're going to the parks, they're going to stuff, or they're just there to relax. It's not really – you wouldn't notice anything different other than if they have decorations up than any other day. It's not really – it's just a bunch of people there. I used to work in the resorts, and there was a family who was at Disney all the time, and they had a teenage son who was fairly flamboyant, and they brought him on Gay Days. They were straight, but they were there to support him.
The question we get from some of our clients is, you know, they don't understand the gay lifestyle and don't know anything about Gay Days. So they're concerned when they find out that they've booked their vacation during this time slot. So how would you, I guess, describe the event to them? I think they have the idea that they're going to walk around and see all kinds of things going on that's not appropriate for their 3-year-old, and because they've never been.
I would say take a look at your pictures from Disney World, especially if it's been crowded. The only difference between Gay Days is one, you may see two women holding hands, two guys holding hands, a whole group of women and guys holding hands. The only major difference is probably a good 80% of people in your pictures are probably going to be wearing some type of red T-shirt. That's pretty much the only difference.
But you know what? The more we go to Disney,
the more you see it
every day. You see it every day.
And if you're not okay with it on a daily basis, maybe you shouldn't be leaving the house. I mean,
yeah.
If you're that concerned, I guess to me, and my, like I said, my boss asked the question, so this is fresh in my mind. He says, well, you know what? I don't necessarily want to go be around a huge group of people, gay, Brazilian, you know, it doesn't matter who you are. He's like, I don't want to be around a whole group of people. You know, I'd rather avoid the crowds. I said, well, on Saturday, we go to Magic Kingdom, so you can go to anywhere else. And on Thursday, they go to Animal Kingdom, so you can go to anywhere else. And Sunday, we go to Epcot, so you can go anywhere else. You know, you just avoid the park of the day, and, you know, you can ride, you know, a lot more stuff. You can, you know, get around, get away from the crowds if you go to Epcot on, you know, Friday or Saturday.
Do you suppose most people stick to the schedule? Because I've talked to some people that purposely go for the events and the parties but will avoid the park of the day.
I think they might do that. I mean, I've found people that do that maybe on Thursday and Fridays. I mean, we're not big into Hollywood Studios. You know, shoot me if you must. And on Thursday, we usually plan on lounging by the pool and drinking mojitos. But, you know, we do, most people that we know do Saturday and Sunday, do Magic Kingdom and Epcot.
Sorry, Franklin. Hollywood Studios can be really crowded on Friday also because of Star Wars weekends, although it's always worth going at least once just to see the guy who has the rainbow stormtrooper suit who walks around on that day.
Oh, my God. That's too funny. I actually have a special geeky question related to Star Wars weekends. Do you guys do anything fun for that specifically? Because that sounds sort of exciting.
The Friday is the official day for Hollywood Studios, and it is also a Star Wars weekend day. There's lots of the geeky types in the gay community, and that's one thing people don't realize. Gays come in all types, just like straight people.
Right.
And plenty of Star Wars fanatics. You know, I love Star Wars. I would go, except for most of the people who come into town to hang out aren't as big on it. So I've been years before. I don't typically go during that week because I've got company.
To go back to the question about following the schedule, I've followed the schedule the past 2 years that I've done it. Even if you follow the schedule Thursday, Friday, and on Sunday, the parks you can tell are still a lot less crowded than they would have been had all the people who were in the Magic Kingdom at the other parks on the appropriate day. So you can still follow the schedule and still have a great experience at the parks. Just every day except Saturday.
Yeah, even Saturday, it's crowded, but it's not bad. There's going to be some attractions that are going to be busy. A lot of the children's attractions are not going to be as busy because it's a lot of adults who go for Gay Days. And while, yeah, Peter Pan, Pooh, a couple of them may be busy because they always are. At the same time, the kids will be able to get on stuff without significant waits. And there's a lot fewer meltdowns that I've noted.
And, you know, something I've told everybody is maybe people aren't going to be as rude on those days because it seems like, and I know nothing of Tina, but the gay people are very nice and good to your kids.
That's kind of, you know, what we've found. It's like on Gay Days is the one day out of the year it seems like you're less likely to get run over with a stroller. But, you know, it's really nice. Like, you don't get mowed down.
I think people would think about other people. They would think about other people's kids and say, hey, kid, come here to the front. You can watch in front of me, where most people would just push that kid out of the way. You know, I think
you're right.
A common etiquette that people have.
Yeah, there are. I mean, you know, you run into a lot of. I mean, I hate to say it, but a lot of issues with strollers and stuff in the parks, especially Magic Kingdom, can get pretty crowded.
Gay people tend to like kids because right. in many states we can't have them. It's even illegal to adopt in several states still. So when we see other people's kids, we tend to spoil them, as Sarah's kids can tell you. So it's when you're in the parks with them, the gay people love the kids. They're going to interact with them and, you know, give, you know, if they ask to get in for a better view, they're going to get out of the way because they like kids in general.
And we're taller. We're adults, so we're taller, so we can stand over them.
Yeah, and that's just a common courtesy.
Yes, well, that's true.
Well, common being not so common.
And we talked about that. The uncommon is the new common sense.
Well, I think, you know, getting back to all the concerns that people have, and you do hear these comments from a lot of people, and it seems like year after year after year. I mean, you mentioned that this is, you know, this event has been going on for 20 years, but yet these questions keep coming up. If you're so focused on looking for inappropriate behavior, which you can find anyway at any park any day of the year, you're less likely to enjoy your own vacation.
That's a good point.
And I think a lot of the stuff wouldn't be noticed at all if it weren't for the fact that it was homosexual couples.
Right.
2 years ago, my friend from Canada was down. We were taking the bus from the Contemporary to Downtown Disney, 11 o'clock at night after Magic Kingdom closed. Two guys got on holding hands, and this woman just started going off. Oh, that's disgusting. How can you do that in public? And her little girl's like, what are you talking about, mommy? And she's like, oh, none of your business. And she's like, I can't believe you did that in front of my kids. And the little girl's like, what is it? The kid was oblivious, but the parent was making a big deal of it, and they were only holding hands. It wasn't anything inappropriate. I mean, their shirts didn't have anything inappropriate. It was just the person had the reaction because it was two guys holding hands.
Right. So, I mean, if you're that concerned and you do see something that is disturbing, I mean, I think, you know, if you are a parent and you see something that's disturbing to you, maybe the best thing to do is to not say anything, because your child is probably going to be caught up in the magic
they're not going to notice that.
They're not going to notice
that.
Right.
The first thing that kids focus on, unless you've taught them, you know, to look for this and to identify this and taught them this is wrong and shameful and horrible and, you know, to always be on the lookout for people who are different, they don't notice that. They don't, you know, have that reaction. I mean, my 7-year-old daughter reacts the exact same way if she sees boys kissing as she does if she sees a boy kissing a girl. It's always, ew, cooties. And it's because it's kissing. It's not because it's, you know, same sex or, you know, or opposite sex. It's
so kids, you know, so parents, take a lesson from your children.
Well, and I think also, I mean, if you're not open-minded at all, no amount of what we say can change your opinion. You're going to be upset about it. And if that's the case, then you have to handle it based on whatever your personal values are. But for people who are open-minded, even people who are maybe a little uneasy because they haven't been around gay or lesbian people, it's an opportunity to teach your kids, hey, that's what love is. That's what it looks different maybe than what we have in our house, but that's okay.
I also think that just friends are a lot more affectionate with each other these days. So if you have two women that are holding hands or hugging or anything like that, they may or may not be lesbians. Right. And so it's not a judgment of what is their sexuality. It's, oh, they really like each other and they're showing affection. Wonderful. Sometimes you just don't even know. Are they being friendly or are they being romantic?
Well, and I mean, I think
really, it's none of anyone's business.
No.
Right. It's, you know, that's the kind of thing I love. I have a very close friend, and, you know, she and I took my daughter to a Broadway show, and we walked into the theater, I think, arm in arm. It was cold, and we were huddled together, you know, with my daughter, and we were arm in arm, and it's Jacksonville, so we got some looks, and she looked at me, and she's like, okay, well, I guess we've reached the stage in our relationship. Will you marry me? And, you know, we cracked up laughing, because it's like people just automatically assume, you know, one way or the other, and it's, you know, we're friends.
But, you know, I was at the Magic Kingdom a few weeks ago with my wife, and we were online for Haunted Mansion, and we were talking to two gentlemen behind us, and it became apparent that they were a couple and romantic, and they were being very sweet to each other as the conversation went on, and I guess they felt comfortable, and I don't know, I just thought that was very nice to see, that they were not only that they were comfortable, but you know, that they could, you know, be open about it, and you know, nobody seemed to care. I mean, everybody seemed to be caught up in their own little world anyway. But it was just, it was nice to see that I think as the point was made, you know, love doesn't discriminate, and you know, it comes in all shapes, all sizes, all forms, and you know, go and have a good time.
Bob, you are so much more sensitive than I pegged you for.
Oh, well, I'm a bulldog in the courtroom.
Okay. But
it's a whatever that thing. Means. A lawyer with a heart. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
They don't make very many of those.
They do.
Try. They just all work at Legal Aid.
That's true. Or real estate. But.
And I think that's part of the thing, too, is if you're going on gay days, expect to see couples having a good time at Disney. It's not going to be, like I said before, a Pride celebration where everybody's walking around in, you know, chaps and nothing else. It's Disney still. People are at Disney to have a good time with people like them. That's all there is to it. And I went, one of the first years I went, I was there with a girl who I was roommates with, and we both had red shirts on. She was straight, her said friend of the family. And we were sitting in line for the teacups, and this guy comes up to me and goes, "You people disgust me." As he goes back to his family, you know, his 14-year-old daughter had a bikini top and hot shorts that said, "Grab this" on the back. It's just perception.
I think, you know, that just goes to show that, yes, we may have come far in 10 years' time, but obviously we haven't come far enough, perhaps.
But there are always going to be those people. And like I said, you can't reach those people. Know. It's the people who are on the edge who are sort of like, I don't know how I feel about this because maybe they haven't been exposed to it. Those people are the one whose opinion can change. Well, and I mean, summer weekends are going to be crowded anyway. And it's not any different than like any other group. When you have Pop Warner, for example, although Pop Warner really doesn't affect the parks that much. But I mean, when you have a bunch of tour groups in July, I mean, you have to kind of know what you're getting into, know how to maneuver the crowds, and get a touring plan. You know, if you are going to be at the park at any busy day, whether it's gay days or the busier times of the year like Christmas, just have a touring plan so that you can enjoy the parks.
Good, very good point. And remember, summer, of course, is going to be hot. So,
right.
You know, and that makes everybody a little bit more cranky, I think.
And sweaty. Well, except for at Epcot when you have all those nice drinks at every country, because we had a blast. It was so hot, but we had a blast.
Oh, yes. We have the pictures to prove it.
I think every year at Epcot, we start off with like 6 people and end up with 40 or 50. We just we go through the countries. So it's a lot of fun.
I'm curious, and I'm not sure why I'm curious, but do you think that there are more men? Well, I'm going to say more homosexual men or homosexual women that go to gay days.
Based on how the official host hotel is broken down, it's primarily men. I mean, they have a small wing that's dedicated to lesbians, but primarily it's men that go to this.
And Franklin, which one is the host hotel?
The host hotel is the DoubleTree on I Drive.
Okay.
Right. I'm trying to think of it's the DoubleTree very close to SeaWorld. It's like right around the corner from SeaWorld. And so that hotel has a tower building and about 10 two-story building similar to what you would see at a moderate resort surrounding the complex. And 7 to 8 out of those 10 buildings, including the tower, which is easily 17 stories tall, so that's a couple of hundred rooms, are by the men's pool area at the host hotel, where there's a east wing that maybe has about 5 or 6, maybe 4 or 5 buildings that's surrounded for the women's pool area. So it's primarily men. Not to say that women don't enjoy themselves, but at least at the host hotel, the vast majority of people you see are men.
And for years, the host hotel was the Royal Plaza on Hotel Plaza Drive, it's back to what, Days Inn, I think, now. And a lot of people still stay on Hotel Plaza Boulevard, and there's a couple pool parties and stuff there as well. although it's not the official host hotel.
Right. It used to be on. It used to actually be held at the Royal Plaza because the DoubleTree, as it now was damaged. Was damaged in a hurricane. I think Charlie was it a couple of years ago. So that's why they moved it to the Royal Plaza. And now that the DoubleTree became the DoubleTree and was remodeled and everything, they finally moved it back. So that's what a lot of people forget when they are talking about the host hotel.
Do you think it's just a stereotype of what a lot?
I think it's a stereotype.
It's a stereotype, really, of what how bad it is.
I think it's a stereotype based on maybe if they live in a larger city, based on their city's pride parades, which do tend to get a little bit more rambunctious and are not as G-rated as gay days at Disney. I think that's what a lot of people assume. Gays coming together to party and have fun is what they do at Pride. This is what they're going to do at Disney, which is totally not the case at all. I mean, the Pride parade and celebrations in New York City are if I was to say it was a movie, it would be a rated R movie. Whereas Gay Days at Disney at the parks, in my experience, you're looking at a rated G movie. You're looking at pretty much watching Up, if you want to compare us to how Up is kind of one of the more depressing movies to how Gay Days can, its rambunctious level, it's pretty much the same thing.
You know, being from a small town that where you don't see that, I mean, it's very unheard of. We're just, it's not. And if you are, you don't say anything about it. It's just that way. And it's sad, really. But, you know, when I book these vacations and people find out, they're calling me going, oh, my gosh, did you know this? What do I expect? And, you know, I think this has really brought a light out to what people can expect and how it happens. And it's good to understand it now.
And, yeah, I mean, if you want to see the R-rated, you can go to the after party, you know, the after hour parties, if you don't mind spending, you know, $75 to $100 just to be offended. But because those are private ticket events, it's a closed park event, so they're going to go. People are going to go crazy then. But it's in the general daytime; you're not going to see it.
Well, and it's just like when you go to Panama City during spring break. If you go to the wrong place, if you're a family and you go to the wrong place, I went to Florida State, so that's where we went for spring break. If you go to the wrong place, you're going to see wild and crazy stuff. But if you just go to the regular, you know, hang out with the regular spring break crowd, it's just people having fun, you know? I mean, you don't have to search out a wild party that maybe young people are going to have because that's what young people do, gay or straight, right? You just go to the parks and enjoy yourself.
Exactly. And I mean, there have been times where people will have a fit when they're leaving Hollywood Studios because of the after hours party there. There'll be people lined up waiting who are in their club clothes, who are, you know, some of them may be in drag. There may be, you know, transsexuals present, and people will be upset by that. And it's not anything risque. It's just they're upset because it's
different
outside of what they're used to seeing. But then again, these days, if you're going to clubs, be them gay or straight, you're going to have, you know, some of the,
you're going to see that anywhere.
Exactly.
I have a cousin that actually worked in Disney for a while, and he was put on what he called a potty patrol. And he said he couldn't tell sometimes what he had to make sure the men were going to the men's and the women were going to the men's. And he said he got to the point he just couldn't tell, and he had to ask him, do you sit or squat? I mean, is that really that true?
Do you think he was exaggerating, though, to tell kind of a funny story?
Well, probably, but maybe he was at one of those after-hour parties, like he said that they dressed in drag in the after-hour parties. Is that probably where he was?
Probably.
Yes. Okay. I have the last 2 years that I've done Gay Days. I have not seen anyone in drag in the parks during the day.
As one of my drag queen friends put it, why are they going to spend 3 hours doing their hair and makeup to walk around in that heat?
That is an excellent point, because I too do not spend 3 hours doing my hair and makeup on park days.
Mm-mm. Nope. Ponytail, no makeup.
Ponytail, no makeup.
And
sunblock.
And you know what? Those that dress in drag are absolutely beautiful. They would put the prettiest woman to shame.
Yeah, they definitely put me to shame because they care.
Those ladies are the ones, they can actually walk in their heels in the park.
I do good to walk in my tennis shoes.
Yeah, and there are going to be transgendered folks there. But in general, they live their life as that gender. I mean, they were born in the wrong bodies, but you're going to see them any day of the week. And there's lots of cast members who are transgendered. And most people aren't going to know the difference. So it's not something you're going to see. And they're going to use the restroom appropriate to what their gender is, not necessarily how they were born, but what it really is.
So a little kid's not going to see a woman go into a man's restroom and start questioning that. That's
exactly. I mean,
okay.
It's not like, you know, the transgender folks are walking in with a full beard and mustache and you know, with a dress on. It's not like that.
Well, I have a confession. I actually still bring my 8-year-old in the bathroom when we're at Disney World. So if they're not offended by me and my 8-year-old son, I'm not going to be offended by anyone. So.
They might be, but that's a topic for a different show.
Yeah, it totally is. You know,
it
just
really
eight.
Could be.
Yeah. All right.
I don't disagree with you, but I'm just telling you that's a hot topic.
He's speaking
too.
From a boy's perspective that he did, if he was 8, he wouldn't want to go in the ladies' restroom. I think he's always trying to take her.
My son actually fought me last trip. I let him go in alone a couple times.
It's one of those things where parents are wanting to be protective because, you know, stuff does happen at theme parks. Disney less so than ones with not as much security. Ever since the whole Adam Walsh thing, I think people are scared at times, but you have to think the kids at that age aren't going to care what the other gender is doing.
Yeah, my son could care less.
As Sarah said, they'll just say it was cooties and ill and run away, which is a good response in general.
When you're 7, it is cooties.
Yeah, it's better if they stay that way for as long as possible.
Yeah. Well, actually, my son has a girlfriend, so, you know, what can I say?
Is it the bus girl?
It's his bus girlfriend. He only sees her on the bus. And when I picked him up yesterday from the bus stop, she was hanging her head out the window. Bye, Eric. That's pretty cute.
How big is her DVC dowry?
It's not that girl. That girl's down the street. She goes to Catholic school.
Catholic school.
Oh, they have money.
Okay.
Guys, here's the deal. There's a person who lives down the street from me who has 750 DVC points, and his daughter is a couple months older than my son, and I'm trying to get them married off so I can marry into that DVC
You want
fortune.
Those points, don't you?
I do. And I love the family, too. I really want to be their best friend.
But did he buy resale DVC points, or did he buy them directly from
Disney? My gosh. You know, I think they bought direct from Disney. So.
Wow.
I know they emptied out a retirement fund.
Wow.
I shouldn't be telling people stories. Sorry. They're wonderful people. I don't want to ruin my chance for a big wedding.
Okay. That's going to wrap it up for this week's show. You can download our shows at mousechat.net and also from iTunes. Please send your comments and questions to us at comments@mousechat.net. Join us again next week here on Mouse Chat.